Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com, and know that you can always listen to us on a podcast. So just go out to EWTN's Podcast Central, ewtn.com/radio/podcast, or wherever you do listen to podcasts. So today we have a very special guest with us again, and we are thrilled to have Matt Scalise back on our show. Matt was the first employee to EWTN. He served as the Senior Vice President of Engineering and Satellite Operations from 1980 to 1993. And his late wife, Ginger, also worked at the network in the marketing department. And he went on to establish the Golf Channel in Orlando, Florida. And his work in television and engineering and satellite development is known throughout the world. Matt is the father of three and the grandfather of eight. And we, if you watched yesterday, I mean, our hearts were on fire just with the beautiful stories that he was telling us. And so today he's telling us about the early days of EWTN and his precious relationship that he had with Mother Angelica.
Yeah.
And so I'm just too excited to have him back.
Well, speaking about the early days, but then there are early, early days, like when he was three back in the 60s, when Mother first came down here to establish a monastery. And I know part of her key focus was to pray for racial reconciliation. And then things just kind of developed. I'm sure she continued to do that, but wound up being used to help build the largest religious media network in the world. Let's see, tomorrow is the 44th anniversary of the official launch of EWTN. We wanted to have Matt on Wednesday and Thursday. We did a show on Monday as well on EWTN, just building up to Friday. We couldn't think of a better guest than Matt Scalise to be here with us. We'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. I'm just thinking how much we really are family together in him. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Matt Scalise. He is known as the first employee at EWTN, and we are delighted to have him with us because tomorrow we celebrate the 44th anniversary to this beautiful Catholic network. Well, Matt, we want you, you know, to tell our family about, you know, we know that Mother went out and spoke at churches and she did all that. But then how did it come about that Mother went live in the studio and then that came out on the air?
So, you know, when we first began, we were only 4 hours a day. But even then, it wasn't 4 hours of purely Catholic television. We had to fill it with other things. And of the, in terms of Catholic, we did have like the old Bishop Sheen shows and some others. But at some point in the around 1983, Mother decided we needed to really speak to the times of the day. In other words, these are our times. People had questions about how to live their lives. We needed fresh Catholic perspective. And so we decided to do a pilot program of Mother Angelica Live here in this studio. It wasn't even this studio. That was 1983. I think we were still in the old studio. And as I recall, we were going to do 4 weeks of three shows each. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday would be Mother Angelica Live.
Right.
By the way, when you watch the Mother Angelica Live classics, that opening, the two little children and and their mom that are on that, those are my children, my son and my daughter, and my wife. Now, I was not the father. Someone else acts as in my place because I wasn't an on-camera guy. So David Henning plays the role of Matt Scalise, but
yeah, I can see it.
Those are my children who are now 40 and 41. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they appreciate me saying
that. With that neat music playing.
That's them that run up and jump in their father's lap. And so we did these shows, and it was a live call-in show. We allowed people to call in and ask their questions. Mother answered them directly. It was very exciting.
Yes.
And as we got to the end of the fourth week, it looked like, well, we were asking ourselves, is this something we want to keep doing? Because there were only a handful of crew members, and for us to have to work days and three nights a week, it was going to be tough, but we needed to know what the Lord's will was. Well, on the 12th show, which, by the way, my wife was 9 months and 1 week pregnant, and she was helping work the phones back there. And the deal was, the way we screened our calls was you called in, gave us your name and phone number, and if we were going to put you on, we called you back. That's how we kept crank calls from getting on the air. So someone calls in, does the whole routine, the last call of the last show, and it was a distraught man. And we had no idea. He had come up with a fake question to get through the screening, and he told Mother that he was contemplating suicide. And right here on the air, Mother counseled that man and prayed for that man. And in the meantime, we had his phone number. We were able to get help called to whatever, I don't even remember what city or state he was in. We were able to get help to his door. We didn't hang up with him, even though the show went off the air that night. We all came together and we prayed, and there was a lot of tears that night. Yeah. We knew the man had been saved, mostly by Mother's words, but also we knew he had someone there with him. And it was profound. And we knew at that moment that Mother Angelica Live needed to happen, that people were hungry for that, even if just for that one man.
Sure. Yeah. And you know, I love the classics, and I love the counsel that she gave. I mean, she was so organic, so beautiful, but her knowledge and her faith was ever flowing. And you know, she could walk you through a crisis with guidance, with direction, and with hope. I mean, because I so many times people would call in just distraught, and Mother got them through the storm in the midst of a live classic like that.
Absolutely. She had a gift.
So tell us more just about Mother Angelica and the development of the network. You know, at that time, so different shows were coming in. You continued Mother Angelica Live. Thank God. We're looking at the classics now. How did things develop? I mean, how did it grow from only 3 days a week, so many hours to, you know?
How did she handle the growth of the ministry?
Right. Well, look at the evolution of Mother Angelica as a person, as a religious, then as a television personality, then as a television executive, right? How does that even happen? With no training, no formal training, she became this remarkable on-air person, sharing her spirituality. That might even be more believable because maybe that's a natural talent. But business skills, those are things that you don't learn in a cloistered monastery. Mm-hmm. But Mother was a shrewd negotiator. Yeah. So I sat there watching Mother evolve from a simple, prayerful Catholic nun to a dynamic national presence on television to the head of a, you know, national Catholic television network, eventually evolving into a global Catholic media empire, which exists today. Watching Mother's transformation, and each step of the way, her eyes were as open as all of ours, right? She never knew where her next step would be. And that, of course, was part of her spirituality. She defined faith as 1 foot on the ground and 1 foot in the air, and that queasy feeling you have in your stomach. Mother never wanted to feel comfortable. She always wanted to be out of her comfort zone, pushing the limits.
What was the greatest example to you? Her greatest example, I don't know if you could sum it up in one thing, but you were looking at her, watching her, developing what was going on, trust.
I'll say, I relate most of it to moments in time, and what's the greatest moment in time in Mother Angelica's life? I'm not sure there is a one greatest, but I'll tell you what impacted me. We were on the we were on a stretch of remarkable moments from about 1985 when we built this studio. In 1986, we built a new master control on the other end of the building. In 1987, Mother challenged us, we can stay going 6 hours a day by then, or we can move satellites and go dark to the world and start over again, but we'll be 24 hours. The entire crew voted, and it was unanimous. Let's go 24 hours. It'll be twice as much work, but we all believe in the ministry. And then in 1988, she had me build Gabriel 1 and Gabriel 2, the truck and the production truck and satellite truck. And now EWTN could traverse the country and cover the great events that were happening in the church. And so she called us in for a meeting in 1988, might have been 89. And I was pretty sure I was ready to get a big pat on the back because of all that I had accomplished. So this, the theme here is humility. Yeah. And so the senior servants, that's what she called the vice presidents at the time, were sitting around the table. And Mother said, I was sitting before the Lord last night in the chapel, and he spoke to me. And this would happen from time to time, that Mother would feel or hear the words of God. And I'm like, well, here it comes. She wants to congratulate Matt. God probably mentioned me. And she said, here were his words. He said, Angelica, I've trusted you with the little things. Now let's do something big. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of WEWN Radio.
Yeah.
That was her vision for going worldwide. And my point there, Jim, is that there were many moments in time where Mother displayed greatness. But her real greatness is her ability to see over the horizon. Mm-hmm. When the rest of us wanted to stop and look back and admire what we had done, Mother Angelica never did that. Mm. She always wanted to look forward. She was never willing to say, well, God, we did a great thing. Let's all
this
applaud.
This is enough.
Yep. Mm-mm. It was never enough. Mm. That to me was her defining characteristic.
And, you know, I see her before the Holy Eucharist adoring the Lord. Mm. I mean, that was her calling, right? That this is what those sisters do in a very special way for hours. She was really before his face. And that was her foundation. That was her calling, right? God used her in these symptoms that were coming out of this intimacy with the Lord, that she was before his face. So much time to hear his voice, to get an impression. And she becomes one of the most influential and renowned evangelists of the 21st century, right? 21st century. Mm-hmm. Fulton Sheen, Billy Graham. Mother Angelica has to be included among them. And that wasn't her beginning point. But she discovered these gifts that God had given to her. And also just kind of street savvy from her upbringing, which sounds pretty rough to me, and dealing with people and knowing how these things kind of work and go. Your reflection on where you see EWTN now, and we speak about her as a visionary, but maybe she couldn't even envision how this would all work its way out. We don't even know yet where we're still going, but your thoughts on the development of EWTN and Mother's piloting this.
So, you know, I've followed the progression of EWTN, and I stay in touch with Michael Warsaw occasionally. He's nice enough to keep me connected to anniversary events that happen here. And I see what he and all of the staff here at EWTN has done since my departure in 1993. When I would have told you, okay, worldwide radio, that's probably where it's gonna, you know, it's gonna cap out. And now it is many, many times larger. The reach of EWTN is now over 400 million homes across the country, across the world. Mm-hmm. It's remarkable. I still stand in awe, Jim, that here you sit in the studio that I helped build in 1985. And the remnants of the 1980-81 facilities. And I look at what remains here, and everyone here has remained so grounded. It's so simple. There's such a family atmosphere here, and yet there's 600 employees. Your network is worldwide. You're in many, many countries, in many languages. I'm in awe. It never seems to end. And now you're pushed to digital media. That's exactly what Mother Angelica would be doing. I think what your leadership and your staff is doing is carrying forth the vision of Mother. And not many ministries are faithful to the vision of the foundress, but you at EWTN have done a remarkable job.
And I think we have to thank the sisters for all of that, right? Because they are cloistered, they are behind those walls, and they are praying, they are carrying forth and traveling in prayer for all the beautiful things that Mother imparted to them in their own formation. And women are coming forward and saying, I want to be a part of that, because it is for all eternity. Like when a call comes through and you're saving a soul, or someone calls in on the radio and they're, you know, thinking of committing suicide, and just all the ways that the media has exploded. I mean, only God knew. God alone knew the long view.
We have about 2 minutes before the break. Do you feel that you have any particular message you want to share that you think really comes from connection with Mother?
I look at Mother's faithfulness, her obedience to God. I've probably said, you know, greatest moment or profound moments too many times, but when Mother lost her gift of speech, and yet she remained obedient to God's will. This tool that he had given her, which she had embraced and been willing to sacrifice everything else to take, this gift that God had given her that she had never anticipated, never desired herself. She certainly didn't desire fame, but she did desire to share the word of God. When he took her speech away from her, I remember bowing my head and realizing how empty she was allowed, you know, she allowed herself to become before God for his sake, for the sake of his word and for the sake of the ministry that she had founded. To me, there was no greater sacrifice God could have asked of her than to give up her ability to speak. Mm-hmm. And when I look at that personally, I'm so petty about the slightest thing, Jim. Mm-hmm. And yet I got stung by a bee yesterday. I decided I wouldn't treat it today because I wanted a little bit of suffering and it's a bee sting versus Mother Angelica, who was crippled from the accidents and who had numerous healings in her life, but suffered many years. There was a healing power of suffering that Mother imparted to me. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what I use in everyday life to get over, you know, my small travails.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Matt, we're going to hold you over for the final segment, and I'm sure that the Holy Spirit will lead you in your closing remarks. And pray that you are finding this time so very meaningful with Matt Scalise, the first employee of EWTN, friends with Mother since he's 3 years old, and to get these reflections. And the Lord continues to build, to bring in people at particular times to help this network to move forward in being the fire of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. We'll be right back. Please don't go away. Wrapping up a beautiful time here with Matt Scalise, the first employee of EWTN and lover of Mother Angelica, in relationship with her since age 3, and he's sharing so many beautiful things, many known, some unknown, and it's kind of like, you know, being with the apostles who were with Jesus, you know, and saying, well, you really with her, and you know how to tell us about that. And that's kind of like what you're doing here. It's a real gift to us all. So we only have, you know, about 3 minutes left. And I just want to turn it over to you again. If you want to share about any particular aspect about Mother, the development of the network, and what's moving in you at this time.
I guess if I were to point at an important element, it was that she had a very savvy sense of the media. And for a woman who probably didn't spend much time at all watching television, when she came to understand the power of television and radio, and she would have felt the same about the internet, she saw instantly how powerful it could be as a tool to bring Jesus to the masses. And as soon as she realized it, she knew that she was called to do this for Catholics as it was being done for other faiths. Yeah. And so Mother undertook, she didn't know where she was going, she just set out on this journey and began to build a method of creating content that would feed the masses with Catholic content.
Yes.
And obviously she did a remarkable job, and her team of people who were also faithful. You mentioned the sisters earlier. They don't get any credit at all, but still living are Sister Michael and Sister Emmanuel, who were two of the original nuns. They certainly didn't sign up for a life like this, but all the chaos that came along with it, very faithful women who, and that's maybe another thing to emphasize, is her power as a woman in the church, able to touch millions of souls with her vision.
Well, tomorrow is the anniversary of the 44th year since the launch. The founding was the year before, but the launch of EWTN, and look what the Lord has done. And I guess you were there.
I was.
So what was that like? What was your sense about that? What do you take away from that time, being a part of that history?
It was a day that we were all sort of high in the spirit. Other networks were here covering it. NBC and ABC had cameras here. The Wall Street Journal was here. And Mother stepped up, knowing the power that was about to be unleashed on the world. She stepped up, there was a platform. She put her hand on the switcher, getting ready to switch EWTN on the air. And I will never forget her words. She said to all of us in the room, and to the world, in the name of Jesus, who is Lord, let the eternal word be proclaimed. She pushed the lever, and EWTN was put on the air 44 years ago tomorrow.
Wow. We're going to conclude right there. And you'll have to remind me, and I want to see those words written down, because that is such a fundamental part of this history. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being part of the history, and may the best be yet to come for you and for this network. To the glory of the Lord, the eternal word, let it be proclaimed. Let Jesus be proclaimed. The word made flesh be proclaimed throughout the world, the whole world, the world, the whole world. You're an important part of the EWTN family and of this mission. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.